2:05 here on the great WRKO, the voice of Boston, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay, my friends, it is truly my distinct honor and privilege to be joined in the studio with really a man I truly respect. He is the editor-in-chief of the Boston Broadside. It is, to me, the best print publication in Massachusetts, in New England, full stop. You want an alternative to the mainstream media? This is it. It's full of investigative reporting, stories you will not find anywhere else. It's also got sizzling conservative commentary. Full disclosure, my column appears in the Broadside. So does Dr. Grace. But also, you're going to get columnists from around the state and around the region on conservative issues from a conservative viewpoint you will not find in the Globe, in the Herald, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 10, Channel 25, wherever. This is the place. And I know it's a very special issue for you, Lonnie, because we'll talk about this a bit later, but it is the 50th issue, correct, of the Boston Broadside?
You've got it, Jeff.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
The
honor is mine to be here. Thank you.
Lonnie, they said you wouldn't survive. They said a conservative newspaper couldn't succeed, but here you are, my friend. You're growing. You're getting bigger and bigger. Your influence is getting bigger and bigger. And I've got to ask you, you obviously were there at the state Republican convention. And you guys covered it, and I know you guys have a lot of articles, or at least some coverage in the current issue. I'm just curious, a couple of developments. Number one, a shocking result. Scott Lively, who I believe is now officially on the ballot, did get his signatures, stunned everybody by getting nearly 30% of the delegates. Why do you think Lively did so well? And why did Baker do so bad?
Well, Baker has asked so many different conservatives and so many different groups not to vote for him repeatedly. Take the gun group, for example. And he's repeatedly asked them not to vote for them. Take anyone on any fiscal conservative issue. He's asked them not to vote for him. Sanctuary cities. He doesn't want a sanctuary state, we think, maybe, perhaps, but he's okay with sanctuary cities. Look, for disclosure, I had 8 people there from the Boston Broadside. I was unable to be there. However, in addition to those 8 people, I was on the phone almost all day long from 8:30 in the morning till after 6 o'clock at night with people between text and everything in the world. I almost feel like I was there. The only thing I didn't get was the explicitives that were given by the Mass Party chair during Scott Lively's speech. But actually, I sort of got that related to me yesterday.
So, Lonnie, was it a vote against Baker? Is it that conservatives are just so dissatisfied with Baker, they were sending him a message? Or was it Lively's speech, his apparently electrifying speech, where he said, look, on life, on guns, on immigration, on you name it, fiscal issues, I'm 100% conservative?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, Lively wouldn't have a campaign. He wouldn't even be approached if he wasn't such a stark contrast to Charlie Baker. So everything that you've said, you line up any of the issues, he's the exact opposite, the exact alternative. So, yes, the headline was Lively gets to take Charlie for a ride. And it was kind of a little pun off of, you know, Charlie on the MBTA, which people may remember the old song. And Republican unrest with Governor Baker gives Dr. Scott Lively a primary shot. His speech, he talks like you do. I mean, he's been maligned more than Donald Trump in terms of lies about him and attacks against him.
Oh, the Globe is unloading on this guy.
It's insane. And the headlines are insane. And he got out there and he ripped the bark off of Charlie Baker right out of the bat. And one thing he said, and, you know, when he said it, I thought it was a little tiny bit over the top. But, you know, he was right. Charlie got out there and gave a speech taking credit for everything in the moon. You know, basically for the seas rising and falling, for the economy. And you get up there and says, not you, Charlie. You know, that's Donald Trump that's been turning things around. You know, that's the equivalent of stolen valor on your part, you know. Now, no insult to the military people, which Lively, you know, honors and reveres. But what a contrast, you know, in terms of speeches. And you can view them all on YouTube. And in terms of positions. He's not a Democrat. Charlie is. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Lonnie, let me ask you point blank. Has Charlie Baker screwed the conservatives in this state? Has he betrayed the conservatives of Massachusetts, in your view?
I'm not sure, because the simple answer to say yes, but we knew it was coming. You know, here's a guy who, when he ran, you know, sat there on the porch and said, you know, I'm further left on the social issues than Obama. So we knew at the beginning, if someone's further left than Obama on the social issues, well, how are they going to be fiscally? And he put across that he's going to be great and he's going to be fiscal and he's going to be fine. He's not been. You know he hasn't been. Anything he said that he would do, I mean, he might believe he's done something, but you might mention, you know, Mass Highway. You might mention DCF. You might mention the budget. You might mention, we have on the front page, Governor Baker induces wildly expensive bill promoting climate change adaptation. $1.4 billion in work projects, you know, above and beyond the budget to be bonded for. And some of the things in there are just absolutely insane, you know. How do you say, did he betray him? Well, the signs were there. If you let a thief into your house, did they betray you or did you kind of let them do it? So I'm not calling Charlie a thief, but I am saying he had a lot of telltale signs that said, yes, he was better, much better than the person he ran against, or so people thought. But, okay, I was interviewed last summer by a gentleman from WGBH, and he asked what was happening with the Baker campaign and my general thoughts, you know, what I've heard. And he interviewed a number of different people. And I said, I keep hearing blank Baker, you know. Everyone's like, he's asked us not to vote for him. We're just going to blank Baker. So I think that left a vacuum for someone else to come up.
So, okay, now I think this broke today. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lonnie. Scott Lively has certified 10 or has gotten certified 10,000 signatures. So it is now official, correct? He will be on the ballot to challenge Baker September 4th on the Republican primary.
I trust nothing until I truly see it. However, a total game changer. Approximately 2 hours, 10 minutes or so ago, he sent out an email, Scott Lively did, from his campaign stating that he has more than 10,000 certified signatures. And they're continuing with the process, and also that they're going to be challenging some of the signatures that were discounted, that were not certified.
So basically, so
that's amazing.
It's game on.
Game on.
All right, so let me ask you, as a longtime observer of politics in this state, what do you think Lively's chances are against Baker now in the Republican primary? Will he get 30%? Can he get more than 30%? And does he have a shot at beating Baker?
Baker's weak, but a lot of people, particularly the Democrats, see him as a nice guy, and he goes along with them as a nice guy. Can Lively beat him? I think yes. You know, the people who said, could he get through the convention? To me, that was a no-brainer. There was that whole block of conservative people running, and they all came out on top. So that he came up so high, that surprised me, particularly with the arm twisting that goes on the floor. And it was extensive, and it was by people that kind of surprise you. But can he do it? I think right now he needs to shift away from focusing just on the Republicans and the conservative base, but sell himself to everyone else, because he's going against a sea of misinformation. I mean, like I say, they've trashed him. The Mass GOP has trashed him worse than they trashed Donald Trump. For example, yesterday, Kirsten Hughes, the chair for the Mass GOP, she put out an email, big recap of the convention. Mentions every single candidate that was there at the convention and what they did and how they're moving forward. Scott Lively is not on that email that went out to all the Republicans. I mean, that's how they play.
Lonnie, you've only got 2 minutes, but I've got to ask you, okay, can Lively get the kind of grassroots networking? Can he run an organized, disciplined campaign with people all across the state? Is he willing to, I don't know, get on a bus the way Jeff Deal is and go to town after town, city after city, door to door, and get people out to vote against Baker? Can he run a professional campaign enough? Because let's be honest, Baker, at least in theory, according to the polls, they say is the most popular governor in the country. The Globe is backing Baker. The establishment's backing Baker. That a lot of Democrats are going to support Baker. Can Lively get enough infrastructure and grassroots support to put him over the top? 1 minute.
Well, it's a tough one to do in 1 minute. Again, I think, yes, the capability is there. Will he do it? I don't know. He needs to really move and shift his focus now away from what he's accomplished to what he needs to accomplish. If he stays dwelling on, hey, I made history here. I got almost 30% against the most popular governor in America. That's only going to sell so far. Now he needs to deliver it to all the independents that will cross over and vote in the Republican primary. So it's not just the Republicans he has to go after. This is a very strange state, and having that open primary thing.
So in theory,
he can pull it off, but he's got to really pull those people.
But also in theory, if the Democrats fear that Baker's going down,
they'll come out and support him.
They could cross over into the Republican primary, vote Baker to knock off Lively.
And you know that out of the 7 or 8 million that he has, Baker will be spending some of that money trying to convince those people to come out, the Democrats to come out, quote independents that are still, to vote for him.
Interesting. Interesting.
And he's got the money. He has the infrastructure.
Okay, my friends, we are talking with Lonnie Brennan. He is the editor-in-chief of the Boston Broadside. It is the best publication, period, in Massachusetts and in New England. I want to ask him about Jeff Deal. He did extremely well. And what are some of the biggest stories that the Broadside has broken? I urge all of you, if you can, subscribe. Do yourself a favor. Do your family a favor. This is one publication you want to get. The number, if you want to subscribe, is 833-800-NEWS, 833-800-6397. You can also subscribe online to bostonbroadside.com. A lot more with Lonnie Brennan next. 221 here on the great WRKO. Okay, we're in studio with truly a man I admire very much, Lonnie Brennan. He is the editor-in-chief of the Boston Broadside. He has the guts to print a publication that goes against the Republican establishment, the Democratic establishment, and the corrupt media in Massachusetts. That's why I'm urging all of you, if you want an alternative, a real alternative, to give you the stories on illegal immigration, welfare fraud and abuse, the MBTA, you name it, DCF, whatever the issue is, the Hackorama, there is no better publication in this state, frankly in New England, than the Boston Broadside. And I'm urging all of you, if you can, subscribe. You get a great deal. Lonnie, just for the subscribers out there, if they subscribe, what is it, $30 for a year?
I'm sorry, what?
If they subscribe, it's $30 for 1 year?
That is correct, yeah. Trying out your new headphones. Oh, okay. I didn't do very well there. Sorry.
So $30 for a year, right?
That is correct, yes.
I'm telling you, it's a steal. It's a steal. So call now, 833-800-NEWS, 833-800-6397, or you can go to bostonbroadside.com. You know, Lonnie, off air, and this is what the Broadside does, little things like this. You literally tore out a page from the current issue, and in there is a picture which says puke-worthy moment, and there's Charlie Baker with Elizabeth Warren at the St. Paddy's Day breakfast, hugging Elizabeth Warren, and both of them taking a selfie together. And you said to me, Jeff, if one picture can say it all, this says it all.
Absolutely, positively. Big thanks to rabidrepublicanblog.com, Iron Mike, for passing that one along. Yes. When you said subscriptions, make sure they mention you, because we said we'll give 14 issues instead of 12.
Okay. So you mentioned the Cooner Man.
Yeah.
You don't get 12 issues for $30. You get 14 issues for $30.
You got it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how you make money on this, but let that go, Lonnie.
Let me know someday. We lose a dollar on every subscription. We make it up in volume. Is that the old joke from Saturday Night Live?
It's a steal. Honestly, it's a steal. Okay. Lonnie, very quickly, Jeff Deal electrified the state Republican convention. He got 56% of the delegates. He clearly now has a commanding lead. I don't see him losing the primary. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. Do you think he has a shot at beating the chief, Elizabeth Warren?
Jeff Deal is just an amazing person and candidate. Sorry for saying it that strongly, but he's the guy that keeps on surprising. And the thing is, what he needs to do, I think, I mean, just my thought is, he's had so many accomplishments, but then he moves on to the next one real quick. And he doesn't sit around like most politicians and take a victory lap. For instance, the tank the gas tax. He led the repeal effort, co-chaired it with Steve Elwood, and the two of them together and many others got that on the ballot and actually got the automatic tax increase. We'd have been increasing our gas tax forever automatically thanks to these great legislators. He got it on the ballot and he got it defeated. There's a lot of other people involved, but he was, you know, right up there.
He helped to spearhead it.
But then he just moves on to the next issue. He's constantly going to the next honorable thing to do. And I think he needs to spend some time, you know, getting his name to be as popular as a household name, you know, over the next several months and, you know, really kind of getting out. It's tough to do that. But look what he's done. He was David versus Goliath in that fight. I believe that he was outspent at least 10 to 1. Maybe it was a lot more. I can't remember the exact numbers. Here at the convention, he beat out a millionaire who pledged a couple million dollars of his
own
money.
Chuck Kingston, right?
Yeah, yeah, Thurston Howell III Kingston, yeah. I'm sorry, but the things that that guy put out and the literature that he put out and the postcards that I received, oh, my God, typical politician stuff. And then the other one, I got an email today, Beth Lindstrom's campaign, and they're putting out why she's going to win, because men don't like the sound of Elizabeth Warren's voice. So because Beth is so pretty and so plastic, we're all going to bow down and vote for her. Make me puke.
Make this stuff up.
Are they nuts? What are they doing?
So you have, in the current issue, I believe you've got a nice interview, a long interview with Jeff Diehl. It's with John Boudreaux, correct? John Boudreaux is the one who interviews him.
Actually, that was the April edition.
Forgive me.
Out just before the convention.
Okay, yes. So in the April issue, the last issue, and Jeff Diehl is running as a Trump conservative. He is going to support the wall. He wants to secure the border. He wants to repeal Obamacare. He wants to cut taxes. He wants to balance the budget. In other words, he wants to put America and Massachusetts first. Am I wrong?
You're dead nuts right on. Yes, we have him on that issue. He's the whole top of the front page, and inside there's a full page. About 4 inches tall, it says, Jeff Diehl, I'll help Trump build the wall. That got him in the vote at the convention. You know, while Beth was being and Kingston was being, vote for me, I'm wonderful and I have millions of dollars, Jeff with no money is going out there saying, this is what I stand for. This is what I've done. I've been a legislator. I'm a current rep. These are the things I've voted for. So he got that message across to that audience, you know, and they know him. Now he needs to launch that larger, and that he's going to need a lot of help doing.
Lonnie, we've got 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
I want to get your take. Can Jeff Diehl pull off a miracle and beat Elizabeth Warren? Let's just assume he wins the Republican primary in the general election. Can he do it?
I hate being the optimist, but the answer is yes, because he's the candidate that keeps surprising people. He keeps going up in these David versus Goliath battles and winning. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, it's a bigger audience now, and he needs to get people don't know his name as well. Everyone knows Crazy Liz, and her people will be out, but will they be as motivated? I think there's going to be a groundswell of people coming out supporting Trump, because they have to in this election, and supporting the conservative candidates, people like Jay McMahon running for attorney general, people on gun rights, people like Jeff Diehl, people like Scott Lively. If that block comes out together, we could. You know, it's the closest chance I think we've ever had of actually having real conservative candidates running against ultra-left wingbats. So they have the machine, they have the money, they have the lies, they have the media, they have everything in the world, but they don't have Kuna Country. They don't have me, they don't have you. So maybe we can fight, maybe we can get this one.
Lonnie, I've got about 90 seconds left. I know you don't have the time to get into it, but you've got 50 issues, God bless you, mazel tov, as the Jews say. Of all the 50 issues that you've now published so far, and counting, what was the one story that really stood out for you?
Oh, God, that's so hard. The first edition was dedicated to Justina Pelletier, and we put that out with a lot of her information, or smuggled notes out of her detention. People who remember her and remember what you did to help free her and the rally that you ran and those subsequent issues, that would be the one thing that I think was most meaningful, to have a small part of the chorus to help get her information out. But there's so many others.
Lonnie, did it shock you that the state government could essentially kidnap a child from their family and essentially hold that child hostage for as many months as they did.
It shocked the heck out of me. She was held hostage more than 444 days. That was more than the Iranian hostage crisis. I mean, I put that right on the front page, held hostage more than 444 plus days. But I keep getting shocked. You know, Marvin Siegel, Mary Frank, Beverly Finnegan, the adults that get taken away, the judgeships in this state, and how they work with DCF to take kids away and put them off or torture them. Torture isn't the correct word, but recondition them and actually put that in writing, to recondition them one way or the other. Playing God, the government. We just had a child die in England with government playing God. And the closest thing to God, although he's a bit liberal and whatever, but the Pope said, hey, let him come over here to Italy. Let us get him some health. And they said, no, we'll just let him die here.
That was Baby Alfie, right?
Yeah,
Baby
Alfie. Yeah. Got that on page two.
All right. You have that story in the current issue as well.
Well, we try to cover a lot of different things. Alfie has gone home to God. Questions remain. Why did they pull the plug? And so I have in there a little bit about, you know, what they tried to do, what they tried to do as parents, and what the community tried to do to fight, and a little bit about the quotes from the parents. And it's like, what was their rush? Why did they need to kill this child? Let this child die. It's
incredible stuff. Lonnie, I'm telling you, you have the best print publication, period, in Massachusetts. I am urging all of you, please. Many of you complain there is no alternative to the mainstream media. There is. It's the Boston Broadside. Please support Lonnie, support his reporters, support his work. Get the kind of news coverage, opinions, columns, just pure investigative reporting you will not find anywhere else. Go to bostonbroadside.com. That's bostonbroadside.com. You can also call 833-800-NEWS. 833-800-6397. Lonnie, it is always a pleasure. Buddy, keep up the good fight.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
617-266-6868 is the number. Okay. President Trump is announcing a plan to reduce the cost of prescription drugs. Evan Heidenreich is in the RKO newsroom. He has all of those details. Take it away, Evan.